Thank you all for coming. It's so good to see you. So good to see you all. Please stand. We're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, Praise to the Lord.
Today to welcome Sarah Oxley, who has been chosen to serve as rector of Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd. We believe that she is well qualified and that she has been prayerfully and lawfully selected.
The letter of institution will be read by Terry Sims.
To our well-beloved in Christ, Sarah McCracken Oxley, Presbyter. Greetings. You have been called to work together with your bishop and fellow presbyters as a pastor, priest, and teacher, and to share in the councils of the church. Now, in accordance with the canons, you have been selected to serve God as rector of the Church of the Good Shepherd, Maitland, Florida. This letter is a sign that you are fully empowered and authorized to exercise this ministry, accepting its privileges and responsibilities as a priest of this diocese in communion with your bishop. Having committed yourself to this work, do not forget the trust of those who have chosen you. Care alike for the young and the old, the weak, the rich, and the poor. By your words and in your life, proclaim the gospel. Love and serve Christ's people. Nourish them and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and the life to come. May the Lord, who has given you the will to do these things, give you the grace and power to perform them. Given under my hand and seal in the city of Maitland, Florida, on the 10th day of September, 2023, and in the first year of my consecration. Justin S. Holcomb, Bishop of Central Florida.
Sarah, do you, in the presence of this congregation, commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility?
I do.
Will you, who witness this new beginning, support and uphold Sarah in this ministry? Let us then offer our prayers to God for all his people, for this congregation, and for Sarah, their rector.
To the glory of God and in honor of Reverend Sarah, we will chant the litany. Our response goes like this.
Have mercy on us, God the Father. Have mercy on us, God the Son. Have mercy on us, God the Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Holy Trinity, one God. Have mercy on us. We pray to you, Lord Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all members of your church in their vocation and ministry, that they may serve you in a true and godly life, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For Michael, our presiding bishop, Justin, our bishop, and for all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may be filled with your love, may hunger for truth, and may thirst after righteousness, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For Sarah, chosen priest in your church, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That she may faithfully fulfill the duties of this ministry, build up your church and glorify your name, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
That by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, she may be sustained and encouraged to persevere to the end, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For her family, that they may be adorned with all Christian virtues, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may be received the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For a blessing upon all human labor and for the right use of the riches of creation, that the world may be freed from poverty, famine, and disaster, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the poor, the persecuted, and the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord our God, Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, strengthen and sustain Sarah, that with patience and understanding she may love and care for your people, and grant that they together may follow Jesus Christ, offering to you their gifts and talents through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of God's word.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they're to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the closest neighbor in one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who shall eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival of the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord. The response for today will be Psalm 149. You can find it in your bulletin. We will read it responsibly by half verse. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song. Let Israel rejoice in his Maker.
Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King.
Let them praise his name in the dance.
Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
And the Lord's poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph.
Let them
Let the praises of God be in their throat.
And a two-edged sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on all nations.
And punishment on the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains.
And their nobles with links of fire.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed.
This is glory for all his faithful people. Hallelujah.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
God to guide thee and hope in him through The Holy Gospel of Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by evidence of the two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. In the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before we start looking at the text, there's a little competition from some of the clergy who want to have claim to the fame of Sarah Oxley. Canon Scott Holcomb was the canon who oversaw the search committee during all of this, and so he has some sense of claim. I was the canon for vocations who helped oversee your discernment process, but one Father Gary Lamadue is the one who met you in a hospital back in the day and sent you to the Episcopal Diocese of Central Florida. So I think Father Gary, you win. If someone else has a better claim, we'll talk about that during the reception. And maybe I missed someone, but... sitting on the counter in the ER, there we go. So mm-hmm. You do win. Mm-hmm. So I want to explore the Romans passage, the very first paragraph of Romans 13, which is about the law of God and how love is the fulfillment of the law. And I want to begin with a particular comment to Sarah and the people of Good Shepherd, because I know there has been some pain and need for healing with regard to how the work of the Spirit has been talked about. The fruit of the Spirit, the first one listed in Galatians, is love. The fruit of the Spirit is not a list of extraordinary, miraculous signs. Those can happen. Because one sinner loving another sinner is already extraordinary enough. That is actually a miracle. So let's look at Romans 13. And I have three simple things I want to say looking at Romans 13. First, you must love. Three simple words. Paul, that's what Paul is saying. You must love. And he's getting this from Jesus, who said, when he says, love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments are summed up in the word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Through Moses, God gave 614 commandments, whittles them down to 10 so we can actually focus on something. And then four of those are about how we relate to God. The other six are how we relate to one another. And Jesus then shows up on the scene and says, I'm going to summarize these into two. Love the Lord your God with everything you got all the time, the first tablet. He's actually quoting Deuteronomy. He's quoting the law's summary of itself. And then, love your neighbor as yourself, quoting Leviticus. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And our liturgy does the same thing in response to the law. We don't read the law and say, check, done, I'm good. Our response is, Lord, have mercy. And God doesn't just prefer or hope for us to love one another, maybe. He actually requires. It's not a wish list, it's a requirement. He requires that we love each other. We already have Romans 13, but this is all throughout Scripture. And it gets, Romans 13 was the nice version. Check this one out from Jesus. Love your enemies. So he's getting particular about who we're supposed to love. Love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay? Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. That sounds nice. The way Christ loved the church, it's pretty intense. Just as I have loved you, love one another, Jesus. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Thank you. You ought to lay down your lives for one another. The Bible ratchets up what love and what the law actually means in love. It's not a sentiment. We should look at this, and the command to love our neighbors as ourselves is pretty intense. This is why G.K. Chesterton said, loving your neighbor and loving your enemy go together because they're probably the same people. The commandment is not to perform some minimum attention to somebody or civility or some type of broad generic respect. It is to love, to lay down your life for the other person's flourishing. It's to care more about their good than your own, to think first of them. And I think we need to feel the weight of Romans 13, feel the weight of this command to love so we don't just get to dismiss it like a sentiment. I think we need to realize how impossible the command actually is. Every one of us fails to love God as he commands, and the command is still true. About the law of love, Heidelberg Catechism, question 5 asks, can you live up to this law perfectly? The answer is no. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. That's actually refreshing because it's honest. There's something subterranean inside of us that doesn't just get to get away with some type of sentiment. That's why every week we confess we've not loved you with our whole hearts. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. So what are you supposed to do with that? What do you do with the ratcheted up expectation of what love actually is and our impossibility to actually do it? Are you supposed to fake it until you make it? Are you supposed to somehow conjure love from indifference at best or anxiety or annoyance by the other person? The command to love only points to the problem that we have. You must love is an impossible command. It doesn't actually generate the ability to obey it. Telling you to love doesn't make you love. The law is like a mirror. The mirror reflects the problem. If I look in the mirror, it can say, you need a haircut or some other thing that you see. I don't use the mirror to address what it reflects. If I started rubbing my head on the mirror, you all would think that was ridiculous because the role of the mirror is to reflect the problem. You don't use the command to fix what it points out. But you also don't just punch the mirror because you don't like what it reflects. It's reflecting reality. So you don't use the law to solve what it diagnoses, but you also don't dismiss it because it's God's law and he's holy. We don't get to make up the rules and then reinterpret them how it applies to us. But we have a command. You must love. And that command diagnoses the malady. But the command is not the cure. Something else is. And that's the one hope that we actually have in the rest of Romans before Romans 13. You see, before Romans 13, Romans is set up. The first 11 chapters is all about God's love for us in Christ. And then after that's been done for 11 chapters straight, then in 12, he starts saying, well, what this would look like in real life is loving one another and being generous and the fruit of that great news. So the good news is you must love. The better news is you are loved. That's the whole point of Romans 1 through 11, but just Romans 5. We could do this in numerous places, but here. For while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for you, Church of the Good Shepherd. For you, Sarah. For you, clergy. For all of the guests. God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, he died for us. The cross is the supreme display of God's love for us. 1 John almost word for word says the same thing. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. So the message of Romans 1 through 11 is that Jesus is our double cure. He has saved us from the wrath of God in his judgment, and he has made us pure before God. And that's why I love that 1 John passage on propitiation. It means substitutionary sacrifice, something in your place on your behalf on two accounts. He was in your place receiving the consequences of your sin. So the judgment against sin was laid out on him as a Passover sacrifice. But he was also in your place in his righteousness. He fulfilled the law perfectly. Sarah comes from a tradition, the Lutheran tradition, that talks about the active obedience of Christ a lot. And it's something that I am thrilled that we actually have in our prayer book too. It just means that Jesus not only received the consequences of the law, but he actually fulfilled it, securing his rewards that he deserves by being pure, perfect, holy, and righteous, and then gives that to us as if we earned it. That's why our sins are forgiven because of Jesus being our Passover lamb, and we're declared righteous because his righteousness is given to us. We give our sins to Jesus, and he gives us his righteousness. And that's what Romans is exploring in the great exchange from Romans 1 through 11. God loves you. And if you're in Christ, it's an unconditional and scandalous love. It's unconditional love for us, but it's extremely costly at Christ's expense and merit. The precious blood of the Lamb is how Peter talks about it. God's disposition to us is shocking, and it's seen in a story that I heard about a Bible translator. He was doing a Bible translation for the people group of Cameroon. And he was trying to figure out, he noticed that all of their verbs end in an I, an A, or a U. That's their verb tenses. I, A, or U is how the words end. He started looking around. He was trying to figure out how to talk about God loving. And he noticed there's a D-V-I, D-V, love. There's D-V-A, D-V-A, love, but he didn't see D-V-U. Devu. Everywhere else, there's three verbs except for love. And so he goes to the elders of the town and he says, help me out. There's no devu, so can you DVI your wife? And they said, oh yeah, that means that the wife had been loved, but the love's gone. Can you DVA your wife? And they said, yes, that's the kind of love that depends on the wife's actions. She would be loved as long as she remained faithful and cared for her husband well. And he said, can you devu your wife? And everyone laughed. They said, of course not. If you said devu, you'd keep loving your wife no matter what she did, even if she never got you water, never made you meals, even if she committed adultery, you would be compelled to keep on loving her. So no, we never say devu because it doesn't exist. So the translator sat quietly and wisely asked, "Can God devoo people?" And there was silence. The eldest elder had a tear trickle down his cheek on his weathered face, and finally he said, "Do you know what that would mean? This would mean that God kept loving us over and over, while all the time we rejected his love. This would mean that God is so compelled to love us, even though we've sinned more than any other people. One simple letter changes the complete trajectory of what love actually looks like. I love you based on what you have done. I love you based on who I am. You are loved by a devoo love, but it gets better. You must love. You are loved. You will love. He's not done with you. He's not going to leave you. He's actually going to change you. Being a recipient of devoo love that you did not secure, that you did not earn, that you cannot keep, changes us. God's love causes you to love. He changes you. The love is a new motivation, and it's actually an empowerment to love. In Eucharistic Prayer C, we pray that we come to this table for pardon and renewal. We need pardon because we don't love. We need renewal so we can love. We come to the table for solace and for strength. And I lied when I said that the response to the law is, "Lord, have mercy." There's more in Rite 1, which is the best one that we should be using on this account. I can say that now, and maybe people will do it. We'll see what happens. We say, "Lord, have mercy." And what's next? "Incline our hearts to obey what you command." That's the response. You must love. You are loved. So you cry out in mercy, "Lord, have mercy. Incline my heart to obey what you command." Or as Martin Luther said it, this one's for you of the Lutheran heritage. I'm going all out for you,
Sarah,
on this.
Crazy.
The love of God does not first discover, but creates what is pleasing to it. The love of God does not discover, but creates what is pleasing to it. God's not looking around and figuring out loving, okay, loving, not very loving, and then bestowing love. God creates what God finds appealing, and he also creates what he commands. God's love generates our love. And once you've been unconditionally loved by God, devoo love, it reframes how you relate to others. God has loved us in such a way that has given us life. And to those who encounter the source of love, those who have been shown what the deepest love possible is, then the commandment to love one another can be read with hope, because love's not foreign. You've actually experienced it. Let me close with a story that I think puts that together. When Lindsay and I were in Virginia, before our girls were around, when I was a priest in Virginia, there was a woman that I met, and I was her priest. Her name was Megan. I'm allowed to tell her the story. She gave me permission. And she got married years before I met her to this charming guy, but after they were married, he became controlling, domineering, and then after they got married. And over time, his behavior got worse. He'd humiliate her and harm her in every way possible. And her husband would make lists every day of things that he demanded that she do that day. And he treated those lists like a contract with demands of housework, meals, chores, and more. It was disgusting. Swamped by despair, she could not and would not, it was a great form of resistance, she would not do the lists, which I admired. And in a final act of humiliation, against Megan, her husband divorced her and ran off with one of the many women in his life that was not her. And then years later, she met this wonderful young man who was at the church where we all worshiped together. He treated her with love, kindness, patience. He said things like, I'd like to marry you, but I understand if you don't ever want to get married again because of the harm. I mean, just spectacular guy. He knew that she might be afraid that the abuse might happen again, that even though he's dazzling now, wait, what happens once you say I do? And a year after they ended up getting married and I got to do the wedding, she was going through her home office and found some old papers in her desk, which were the old lists that her first husband gave her that she just stuffed in one of the drawers. And she asked if she and her husband could come meet. Had no idea why, was worried it would be bad news. And she started handing me these lists. And through tears of gratitude, she looked at her husband and said, I've realized all of the things on these lists that I would never and could never do for that evil man. These are all things I joyfully do for you without even thinking twice about it. It was just unselfconscious love, and she wanted to praise him in a setting of tenderness where he would be honored because of this transformation of realizing that these domineering deeds that were impossible for her to commit and do, they didn't generate any action. They generated the opposite action. But then she realized that love begets love. And when the tasks were cruel commands, she could not and would not do them. But in the context of kind, patient love, she couldn't help but do them. You will love. It's not going to be perfect. You don't get a reward for it. It's the fruit of gratitude after having been loved so well. Those old tasks got transformed into acts of love. They weren't things she had to do. They were things that she got to do in gratitude for love. The big difference is that the commands from God aren't cruel, but they're actually holy and good for us. And so the very thing that he fulfills for us, that he empowers us to do, is actually for our good anyway when we actually do obey. And he fulfills them on our behalf. So you can enjoy obeying him out of gratitude for his great love for you. You must love. Feel the weight of it. But feel deeper how wonderfully you have been loved, and let that grow the love that you will do for God and for others. Amen. Amen. I would like, before we move real quick, I'd like for the people of Good Shepherd to stand along with Sarah. Les, you're a member of Good Shepherd now, so you're standing too. This is just for the people of Good Shepherd. This is not in the liturgy, but it is now. I want to read to you my prayer for you, given what I said at the beginning of the homily. It's familiar. If I speak in the tongues of angels or of men, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with the induction of your new rector, and so I would like for the representatives from the congregation who will be delivering gifts to Mother Sarah that they line up and get prepared to bring those gifts.
Sarah, accept this Bible and be among us as one who proclaims the word.
Sarah, take this water and help me baptize in obedience to our Lord.
Amen. Sarah, receive the Book of Common Prayer and be among us as a leader of worship.
Amen.
Sarah, receive this stole and be among us as a pastor and a priest.
Amen. Sarah, receive these books and be among us as a woman of prayer.
Amen.
Sarah, use this oil as a healer and reconciler.
Amen.
Sarah, receive these keys to the church and let the doors of this place be open to all people.
Amen. Amen.
Sarah, obey these canons and be among us as in the councils of this diocese.
Amen.
Sarah, take this bread and wine and be among us as to break the bread and bless the cup.
Amen. Amen.
Mother Sarah, 5 years ago, you pledged to me to help me in my work as a missionary bishop in the Diocese of Bor, South Sudan. The ladies have sent you a dress sewing center we started, and you helped me to start. And so this is the dress for you and a bag they made it for you.
Wow. That's cool. This is neat. Woo. Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah, let all these be signs of the ministry that is mine and yours in this place.
Amen.
Will you pray?
I will. O Lord my God, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Yet you have called your servant to stand in your house and to serve at your altar. To you and to your service I devote myself, body, soul, and spirit. Fill my memory with the record of your mighty works. Enlighten my understanding with the light of your Holy Spirit. And may all the desires of my heart and will center in what you would have me to do. Make me an instrument for your salvation for the people entrusted to my care, and grant that I may faithfully administer your holy sacraments, and by my life and teaching set forth your true and living word. Be always with me to carry out the duties of my ministry, and prayer quicken my heart, and praise heighten my love and gratitude. And preaching, give me readiness and thought and expression. And grant that by the clearness and brightness of your holy word, all the world may know and be drawn to your blessed kingdom. All this I ask for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bless, will you join her up here? Please stand here and face them. The Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd in Maitland, Florida, please greet your new rector and her husband.
Happy?
Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Wow. Peace, 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 peace. That's good. Thank you all for coming again. Don't forget the wild party afterwards. Don't forget that, because that's really why you're here, right? I know, y'all. Thank you so much, Bishop Justin, where are you? And thank you so much, clergy brothers and sisters, Bishop Patrick. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for Ascension people and St. Mark's people. We all meet each other and mix and mingle. You can share stories. I remember that, Mother Sarah. Yeah, you're going to hear the real story. No, just kidding. It's going to be good. Thank you for coming. Let's see. Y'all are already here, right? So, Eucharist is open to everyone. You don't have to be Episcopal. It can be for anybody that belongs to the Lord in baptism. So come up. We kind of do it the same as all the other churches I've been at so far. The secret handshake, if you want just a blessing, is to go like this. And we have gluten-free and we have normal host. Put your hand out like this and one of us will put the host on them. At that point, you have a decision to make. You can keep it there, and someone will come by and intinct it for you and put it in your mouth. No putting your fingers in the chalice, because that's gross, okay? They will put it in the chalice, and they will put it in your mouth. Masters of Nursing speaking, that's what's going to happen today. And then, if you don't want that, you want common cup, we have that. Or if you don't want any wine, you don't have to have any wine. It's all good, okay? Or go like this, and we'll give you a blessing. And make sure you read their constant contacts. Make sure you answer your phone for your vestry people, because a lot of stuff is happening. This Thursday, we have morning prayer in the chapel or online, or you do it yourself at that time, knowing that you're not the only person on the face of the earth doing morning prayer on Thursday at 9 o'clock. Next Sunday is Holy Cross Day, so wear your cross or bring a cross with you. And October 1st is the big first Sunday of the month. We're going to bring back 8 o'clock service in the chapel, and then breakfast, and then the 10 o'clock service. We'll do that every month, the first Sunday of the month, until we have 10 people, and then we'll do it every Sunday. So get out there, call people, get the sign twirlers out to get people into chapel at 8 o'clock on Sunday for Rite 1 without any music. Y'all understand that. Okay. And I think that's all the notes I have.
I had a quick question. So you said normal host, implying that gluten-free were abnormal, right?
No. The cheap kind versus the expensive kind.
I was trying to figure out what you were communicating.
Thank you for clarification.
Thank you, Good Shepherd, for hosting and the hospitality. Thank you for all the people who are guests. Again, thank you to the clergy. It's awesome for you all to be here and support. Now, the offering goes to Sarah's discretionary fund, so be generous so she can be generous also. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
God from above bless these.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through the great shepherd of your flock, Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection sent forth his apostles to preach the gospel and to teach all nations, and promised to be with them always, even to the end of the ages. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. When we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, and this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Christ, the bread of heaven. Let us pray the post-communion prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you for feeding us with the holy food of the body and blood of your Son, and for uniting us through him in the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for raising up among us faithful servants for the ministry of word and sacraments. We pray that Sarah may be to us an effective example in word and action, in love and patience, and in holiness of life. Grant that we, with her, may serve you now and always rejoice in your glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Sarah, will you pronounce to us God's blessing?
God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Sisters, you truly have a new rector. Go in peace.
Thanks be to
God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the good news. Thank you for our brother and sister clergy. And thank you for Sarah and this church. Fill them with your spirit and the fruit of the spirit in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being here.